Amen. Before I forget, don't forget we're doing a Thanksgiving service this coming Wednesday. And it's going to be on Zoom. And so what you're going to get today is just a, I guess, a prelude to a Thanksgiving message. Amen. The Thanksgiving message from OBC will be coming from one of the elders. It's coming Wednesday. And so we ask that you would tune in. So it's going to be on Zoom. And that's at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock?
7:30.
So we'll start the prayers and then we'll do the service at 8 o'clock. I'm looking forward to that. Elder Whitberg will be bringing the message. Amen.
Amen.
So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday won't be good. Y'all pray for him, amen. That the Lord will use him in a mighty way on that Wednesday evening. For the day of Thanksgiving. But somebody tell me that every day is a day.
Yeah.
Can we start singing that?
Every
day. Come on.
Is a day of Thanksgiving.
Come on, look at y'all. God's been so good to me.
What?
Every day he's blessing me. Oh, check it out. And The Bible tells us in specific places that we ought to be thankful always.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Not just sometimes. All the time.
Yeah.
In whatever situation you might find yourself in, you ought to be thankful. And we're going to talk about that. That's kind of where we're going to go today. And I want to preface it by talking about something, and then I'll come back to it at the end, because I got a very nice story to close it out this time, a little illustration. Because we were in the house the other day with my wife and my daughter, and we were talking. You weren't there. And we were talking about gnats. Not the team, the job, that baseball team. I'm talking about gnats. Yeah, you know those things that fly around in the summertime and bother you. And we were having it, because we had these weird conversations about it. We were just having the conversation, because, and I think it was Kiana, he says, why did God create gnats? They serve no purpose at all. And I agreed with him. I did. And I didn't Google it to find out why they were there, because Google probably give you some, you know, the gnats will help you do this and all that. But I just don't see any purpose for gnats. And now we have y'all know I have a granddaughter, amen. But now the rest of my family also have another addition to the family. I'm not claiming him yet. And it's a dog. They got a dog downstairs. Downstairs now. The dog can't come upstairs. And his name is Chance. That's a perfect name for him, because I'm giving him a chance to stay with him. You only get one chance. That's a perfect name. When I was downstairs the other day, and I noticed he was doing one of these things. Y'all know what that means, right? He got what? What kind of fleas? I mean, what purpose do fleas serve? So there are some things that we don't think about, and they're here, but you never know. I want you to think about that as you go to the sermon. You never know why certain things exist that we think there's no purpose for. Keep that in your mind as you turn to 1 Thessalonians. 5th chapter. I can find it. I'm going to read verses 12 all the way down to 18. I'm really going to just focus in on 16, 17, and 18. We dare say amen.
Amen.
And the word of the Lord says this. It says, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Basically means sometimes correct you and warn you about certain things. And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, which is a good thing. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the idle. That probably has a reference to those who are just sitting around doing absolutely nothing. Encourage the faint-hearted. Those are the ones who need a little courage from the Wizard of Oz. Amen. And help the weak. Those who are just not strong enough to do what they need to be doing. But it says, but be patient with them all. Amen. And every now and then I have to remember that's part of the scripture. Be patient with them all, because I know for a fact God has been very patient with me. Amen. 15 says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. You ought to highlight that in your Bible, because I know every now and then y'all want to get back at somebody. Amen. Come on, be real. Let's be real. Y'all even say it all your life. But always seek to do good to each other. Amen. That's what we're doing now, right? But this part gets you too. And to everyone. Amen. I mean, sometimes you gotta go outside the family and be a blessing. Amen. Seeking to do good to everyone. Here's the part I'm gonna land on. 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. That's why I wanted to sing that song today. Give thanks with a grateful heart. In all circumstances, check this out. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life. Amen? Amen. Everybody's always asking that question. You know, I can't find out what the will of God is for my life. It's in the Bible. It said right there, part of it is we want to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Now, let's be realistic. How many of us have been doing a good job of that? Don't raise your hand. I'm not raising mine either. Amen. Amen. There are certain things in this life, especially this year with COVID, that sometimes kind of rob me of my joy. Amen. I'm still saved. Yeah. Amen. I know these are literally commands. Amen. These are commands, and we're supposed to do them. And but every now and then I fall short. And what I want to really talk about is the fact that it's good for us to begin to practice what we preach. Amen. Practice what we preach. See, because we get to a point every now and then where I said song, and I'm not even going to go back to there, but a couple of weeks ago, I started off, and remember Philippians 4 when I preached that? It said something similar. It says, rejoice what? But there was something in Philippians 4 that's not here. What did it say? It says, rejoice in the Lord. Remember that? And that was the part I kind of focused in on. And it's still here because you just have to realize that 16, 17, and 18 go together. So he says, for this is the will of God for your life. And so what he's saying that in Christ, right, Jesus, he still said the same thing. He wants you to rejoice always because you're in Christ. And that's the part that we have to understand, that despite what we're going through in our lives, and that's why I read that whole list of announcements that I had, that, I mean, when you go down this list and you start talking about Deacon Rainey losing his sister, Rick Russick being in a coma, Deacon Parker in the hospital, Tab having surgery, Javidian having surgery, Skeeter's ankle, and I can just go on with the list, and we can go on and on. I know you know some more people and all of that. And despite all of this that's going on, the Bible specifically tells us that we still want to what? Rejoice always. Now, see, that's the part that we need to understand, and that's where we come in together and we encourage one another, all right, into good works, and we make sure that when these things happen in our life, we are there to help us to put perspective into the problem. Amen. And here is what he wants you to understand about this first piece here, is that we have to get to a point where he's telling us, you don't have to walk around faking it. Amen. This is not saying that you ought to always walk around with a smile on your face acting like ain't nothing wrong. I said ain't. Yeah. That's right. I want to make sure you understand that this fake Christianity, anytime you walk around with somebody, oh, just how? I'm just so, what is it when they say I'm faking the Lord? How they faking? Because I don't even listen to them anymore. Because it's not real. Yeah, there you go. I'm just blessed and highly favored. Come on, man. Not all the time. Amen. No, I'm just being honest. Not all the time. See somebody like this? Somebody on Facebook, and y'all not see it on my face. But somebody say, "Well, hell no." I'm always blessed. The Lord just so good to me. I'm his favorite child. No, it's like so phony. Because they see, they read this and they don't understand the context where he says, rejoice always. What you can understand is that Paul is actually sending a letter to a group of people who are under persecution. And they weren't happy about being under persecution. And then let me tell you, they weren't smiling either. But what he wanted them to understand was sometimes your exterior does not really tell what your interior is doing. Amen. You can actually be rejoicing on the inside where tears coming on the outside. Been there. Matter of fact, I was there 2 years ago. I was literally there 2 years ago. There was a white casket sitting right up in front of this edifice here. And on the bottom of it, it says, love mom. It was my mother. And I had the opportunity to preach her eulogy. And on the inside, I was rejoicing that she was with the Lord.
Amen.
And on the outside, I was broken in spirit because my mom is gone. That wasn't fake. I wasn't phony. That's real. And that's not what this text is talking about. This text is saying you can rejoice in the midst of sorrow when you are in Christ. You can't do it outside of Christ. But you have to understand that there is a future coming and you have to keep your mind, or as someone said, keep your eyes on the prize. Amen? He said you got to always understand that you got to stay focused on who Christ is. And so that's what helps you get through those traumatic experiences in your life. And you can rejoice knowing that this is not the end. Amen. No matter what you're going through right now and where you are, it's not over. And it's going to get better. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me at the end we win. And we will be with the Lord. I love the scripture that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when you're in the Lord, what? In his right hand, there's fullness of what? Of joy. See, but we don't believe that. When something happens, we crack. And we crash and burn. Because we don't really believe the scriptures, but we can rejoice always. Paul says it best in 2 Corinthians 6:10. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. In the midst of all of this, and y'all know Paul went through some sorrow. Amen. Paul went through some stuff, but he said he was always rejoicing. I remember saying that even if I'm poured out as a drink offering, he says, I will rejoice. And then he also said, you ought to rejoice with me. Paul understood this text, and that's why he can write to the Thessalonians and say, rejoice always. Because you need to understand that, guess what? God has a wonderful, somebody said, wonderful plan for your life in your afterlife also. Amen. See, the reason why I can sit here and tell you to say it's true, because see, Paul can't write this and then over in Romans 12:15, right? Rejoice with those who rejoice and then weep with those who weep. See, if he says rejoice always, then why would he say weep with those who weep? See, scripture never contradicts itself. And so if you read the way that some people like to read it, rejoice always, those blessed and highly favored folk, then what you would have to say is, Paul should have wrote, rejoice with those who rejoice and tell those who are weeping to rejoice. But he didn't say that. He said, I want you to weep. Why? Because there's a sorrowful, there's a lot of sorrow in this world. Because what you need to understand is this world is still broken. Amen. It's been broken since Genesis 3. And it's not going to be fixed until Christ comes back. Matter of fact, if this scripture meant what some people think it meant, then Jesus sinned. Yeah. Doesn't the Bible say that what? Jesus wept. Don't forget that. So if this is after sin, what them folk keep telling y'all that it says, then Jesus after sin, that means he had Christ. But I know better. And he wept because his friend, Lazarus. Now some scholars say that he wept because of the fact that he had to bring Lazarus back into the sinful world. Because he was better off where he was. Get it? He had to bring him back. He had to deal with all this stuff we're dealing with now, as opposed to what? Not being here and being with God. Think about that from a theological standpoint. That where we're going is better than where we are. Amen? That's why you can rejoice. Because it's real. Amen? And you got to get it in your head that it's real. Because if you don't believe it, you can't do this text. You can't rejoice always. If you actually think and you're putting all of your bank on what we have in the day, you're in trouble. You are definitely in trouble. Because this is not going to end well. Amen? But when you're in Christ, and it's the will of your life, you can rejoice always. Then the second part of it says that basically, you're to pray without ceasing. Now, this doesn't mean that you want to be praying basically all the time, that you are in continuous prayer. Because people have to say, well, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So when I'm walking, I feel I'm praying. No, I'm watching where I'm going. He's being real. Because see, folks like say, you know, like, oh, they're so religious. But the Bible says pray without ceasing, so you'll always be praying. Are you kidding me? Sometimes I'm eating. I'm living life. I'm shooting ball. I'm shooting hoop. That's right. Yes, I'm still shooting hoop. I know Elder Witt. I know I'm not doing as good, but I'm still shooting it, baby. And I'm not praying all the time. Amen. Because that's not what the scripture means. Listen, God didn't say that I came that you might have life and have it so you can pray. No, that you might have it more abundantly. That you can enjoy this life that he gave you. And this text actually means that if you go through some of the secular writings for this word, when it says without ceasing, it actually means like someone has a hacking cough. So somebody has a cough. You know, sometimes you have a hacking cough. And it's like it's nagging, right? But you don't cough all the time. Like you might cough, right? And then you'll go somewhere for a while, and then something will happen inside you, and you got a cough. You know, it's like that nagging cough. But it's not all the time. And what he's trying to get the picture here is that you ought to pray when you need to pray. See, you cough when you need to cough. Because suddenly, you say, and then you'll stop, you go on with life, and it's coming in, you do it again, right? He said you ought to pray when you need to be praying. In every situation that needs to be prayed for. Amen. So you don't just make a decision. You pray about the decision, and then you move on, right? And then it's time to pray again about something you pray. In other words, you don't just go around without praying. You make sure that you are praying. And he says consistently and persistently. Amen. In other words, you actually get to a point where you try to begin to bother God. Yeah, you're persistently, Lord, I know I've already come to you, and I brought this before you, and guess what, Lord, I'm bringing it to you again. You say, well, no, well, once you give it to God, why don't you give it again? Well, that's not what he says in Luke. When he said he bothered the judge, so what the judge said, let me give them what they want. They need justice, right? How about the man who came to the neighbor's house and needed some bread, and people came over, and said he kept doing it until the guy got out of the bed. You know, that's the picture God said. No, God said, keep on coming to me. So keep on coming to me. She's like, I want to hear you. Why? Because your what? Your consistent and your persistent prayer shows your dependence on God. You're not depending on yourself. Amen? It's a persistence. It's a, Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. I'm trusting you to help me through because I cannot do it on my own. So we ought to be some joyful people. We ought to be some praying people. We ought to be some thankful people. That's part of really what the focus is on. Y'all thought that was my sermon. That was my sermon coming down. See what it says right here? It says that, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life. Isn't that beautiful? We ought to be some thankful people. Well, why are we thankful? Because of Christ. Amen. And because of what he has done for us, we ought to be grateful. We ought to always remember what he's done and who he is in our life. In order for me to kind of give you a good picture of what he's trying to talk about here, that we're going to be so thankful to God because of every situation that comes in our life, we're going to thank God for it, even when we don't think it's beneficial to us. Why? Because nothing comes into your life unless it's filled through the hands of God. Amen? It doesn't. It's like God is filtering those things through you, and he's allowing it to come through. Why? Most of the time to make it better. That's why James said, count it all joy. Amen? He said, why? When you fall through those dire trials, why? Because God is what? He's working on you. He's not going to leave you like you are. But let me give you one scripture that kind of really puts it in perspective, and then we're going to go home. Amen. Go to Colossians. It's just the next book back. It's Colossians 2, 6 and 7. I'm just going to read that for you, and then I'm gonna take my seat. And Brother Erg is not here today, so Brother Sam will close it out in prayer. So y'all know I'm going to take my seat. I'm getting my prayer ready already. Amen. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And look at what it says there. All right. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding what? In thanksgiving. In other words, you ought to be looking forward to being able to thank somebody for all the things that God has done in your life. And I use G's to kind of help me memorize this part of the scripture. And I'm going to give you six G's. Amen. Six G's. Literally, I don't remember. See, we better than Verizon. Verizon will give you five G's. We're giving you six G's to go home with. Amen. Amen. And the first part, look, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Your first G there, when you think about that, when you think about the part that says that you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, the first thing that's coming to your mind is grace. Amen? You received Christ by grace, by God's marvelous grace. Always remember, there is nothing we can ever do to merit God's favor. Amen? There is no reason why Christ had to come down here to save our soul. Had he done it or not, he still would have been God. But because he loved us, he gave his life for us. And we receive him what? Freely. He's a gift. Amen. And that's by grace. And so that's one of the things you should be thankful for. The second thing he says is, so walk in him. And y'all know what walk means, right? It means live, right? So he said, since you received him freely, you ought to live for him. That means you ought to be given. Amen. Because Christ was a giver. He came down here, and all he did while he was here was give. And he gave all of him. He gave himself up on the cross, and he died for what? Our sins. But the Bible tells us early on that third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand, and that was the power to save a wretch like me. He was a giver. And if we're going to live his life, if we're going to walk in him, we ought to be givers. Amen? Now, here's how you do that. You got to be rooted. This is an agricultural term. Rooted. Amen? Like plants. So it means you're grabbing onto something to give you a firm foundation. And so you ought to be grounded in the word of God. Amen? Being rooted means you're grounded. See, you'll understand more about how you receive Christ by his grace and why you ought to give, because you're grounded now in his word, right? You are rooted. And see, and when you do that, then you'll be built up in him, which means you'll be growing spiritually. Amen. And when you're growing spiritually, guess what? You automatically want to be a giver. Amen. And if that's not enough, just in case you forget, the next part of the text says that as you're growing up in him and you're established in the faith, just as you were taught, which means you're what? You're being guided by the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? You're growing up in him, what? And you're being established in the faith. obey just as you were taught. When you're taught, you're being what you're guided. To do what? To abounding in thanksgiving. What he wants you to understand is about this thankful thing is that if you're really thankful, you'll be grateful. And that was the part he wants to say. He wants you to understand that we ought to be grateful people because of what God has done in our life, that we're so grateful, that we're thankful to God. And since we're thankful to God, we become like Christ, and we begin to be his feet. We begin to be his hands. We begin to be who he is, and we're out here. We're so thankful that we're giving all that we are that somebody else might see Christ in us. And that's what he wants us to understand. So you go back to Thessalonians. I told you I was in. I just wanted to show you that picture there. He said that because that's the will of Christ. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life. Is that you're willing now, that you're so thankful, you're grateful because of what he's done in our life, that I want to now give my life that somebody else might see Christ. I want to serve, and I want to serve, and I want to serve. And it's not just when it comes around to Thanksgiving, but guess what? I want to do this 24/7, 365 days a year. And if it's leap year, I give enough. Help me somebody. And we got to get to a point where that's what the church stands for. The church has always stood to be servants of the Lord. Amen. And so on this Thanksgiving Day that's coming up, I want us to start thinking about that instead of being thankful for something. I want to be thankful to the fact that God has given me the ability to serve him with a whole heart now. In the midst of a pandemic where people are just there, they've lost their jobs and they don't have to pay their rent and they don't know where the food is coming from, and all of a sudden the church has stood up and has been a beacon light in all of this darkness. We should shine so bright now in all this darkness that nobody should ever forget that this pandemic came and the church stood up and was serving for Jesus Christ. Because we're the thankful people. And that's what I'm saying. So what we do is we take this obstacle of this pandemic and turn it into a what? An opportunity. Guess what? To let Christ's light so shine. Amen. That people might see our good work. But who what? Glorify our Father who is in heaven. Everybody looking at the pandemic as being something bad. No. The pandemic gave us an opportunity to shine. Brighter than we could have ever shine or shone, shine without it. I got my English teacher up here up front, so I want us to understand that we want to take this day and make every day a day of thanksgiving and take the time to glorify the Lord. Today, yeah, I'm talking about in the midst of COVID. I'm not talking about no vaccine. I'm talking about who you are in Christ. Amen. I know all the things that he has done for us up to this point and will continue to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Why? Because he will always be there for us. Don't y'all know God is bigger than COVID? Come on now. He was bigger than the bubonic plague. God is great and worthy to be praised. And I just want you to take time because I know we get together on Thanksgiving and we always go around, and I know we're not going to be together with our family this year. Some of you might, but some of us won't. But we used to get around a table and say, well, what are you thankful for? And man, I heard so many things. I'm so thankful the Lord gave me a new car. I'm so thankful that I'm just thankful for the Lord. Amen. Where would I be if I didn't have the Lord on my side? And so out of all these things that are going on in your life, I want you to be a thankful person because of who you are in Christ. Why? Because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life. Amen? That you have to get to a point where you realize that you can rejoice always. Why? Because in the end, we win. And no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God is able. Amen? And you want to let him know by what? Praying without ceasing. Amen? And as you're praying, don't forget to thank him. Just for who he is. Amen? And let me get back to that flea. Because see, something's happening in your life right now. You don't understand why. Just like we had that conversation, and we don't understand why these pleas are here. And so we get to a point where we say, well, what good are fleas? They just bother you, right? And they itch you, and all those types of things, they get into your house, and all of a sudden you say, so why did God create fleas? And there was a story about a lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. And she was in a Nazi camp, and she was a prisoner with her sister. And while she was in the Nazi camp, they said the camp was horrible, and there were fleas everywhere. And they drove her and her sister crazy. And she just got to a point where she said, these fleas have got to go. They're in my hair, they're under my skin, they make it impossible for me to sleep. And Corrie and her sister didn't have any soap, they didn't have any flea powder, and the fleas just swarmed them unchecked, and it was terrible. You're in prison, now you got fleas. And so Betsy, her sister, read this scripture to her. I'm not making this a real story of two sisters who was in a concentration camp. And she read this scripture to her. And she says, Corrie, I want you to listen to this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And Corrie told her sister, you are out of your mind. Corrie says, why would I thank God for this situation? We're in prison and we have fleas and we can't even get a good night's sleep. She says, I won't do it. So Bessie told her, Bessie says, give thanks because we are together as sisters in this prison. You also ought to give thanks that when we were coming in, when they brought us in, they didn't check our belongings because we had fleas. Just also, inside of our belongings, it was our Bible in there. And you know that in those days, in the conference, they were taking their Bible from them. Just we still have our Bible. And so Corrie says, okay, I agree. I will give thanks for you being here. I will give thanks for the fact they didn't check our clothes. I will definitely give thanks that we got the Bible, but I am not giving thanks for these fleas. Much later, when Corrie got a chance to see what was actually happening in the concentration camp, Corrie discovered that the fleas had been a blessing in disguise. She learned that the guards had often gone around and raped the other women of the prison. But the guards would never come near Corrie and her sister's campsite because of the fleas. So she was never raped. She was never treated badly because they wouldn't even come near them because of the fleas. And Corrie says, I thank God for the fleas. And she says, we ought to learn to give thanks in all situations because you never know.
Amen.
We need to understand that if this is the will of God for our life, there's a reason why he's allowing things to happen in our life. And we want to give thanks. Father, we thank you.